As we look deeper into this passage, let's ask God for his help. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we ask that as we look at this passage, we'd know and be inspired to follow him better, that you'd work by your Spirit in us, so that we'd respond to you more and love you more. Jesus' name, amen. Humans often look for people as examples. People that they want to know more about, like the lifestyle of. Perhaps decide that they may want to copy or follow. And they also decide that others are boring and not worth following. Bette Judd has 300,000 followers on Instagram who want to know what's happening. But she got bored with one of her friends who only has 100, so she cut him off. Apparently, too many skiing photos. Her account excites people, his does not. Hers, people want to copy. And it's not just Bette Judd, the wife of an AFL footballer, that people want to follow. Fatou Souri saw a beautiful model, Shudu, on the internet and reached out to her. Her response, the model's response, made it more attractive to follow her, as Shudu seemed very approachable. Fatou was not the only one. There were 90,000 others who followed Shudu. Fatou commented, I'm always looking for inspirational people to follow. It was inspiring to see a darker-skinned model celebrated in such a way. She represented someone stunningly beautiful, perfect in body and soul. However, as Fatou eventually found out, Shudu was a web creation. She wasn't real. She'd been created by a photographer using a computer. And when Fatou found out, she said, as a model, I've had my image perfected. I sometimes looked, what she calls CGI'd, to the point where it changes how I look. So it's kind of similar. Obviously with Shudu, she's so perfect. I'm a bit glad she's not real. While Fatou continues to follow Shudu, she's more comfortable because she does not have to compete. She can just look to Shudu for ideas as an example without feeling that Shudu's the standard she should be aiming at. And in the passage today, Paul, having spoken of the perfect example of Jesus, continues encouraging the Philippians to follow his example. By describing the effects of doing so, before listing a whole load of examples of people that they know who do this, and Paul is sending to them, so they will be in contact with to encourage them. The Philippians are to live in relationship with God and to support and honour others who do so. In the previous verses, Paul's highlighted this by focusing on Jesus and how he, rather than grasping hold of his status as the Word of God, the one through whom the universe was created, became nothing. One of those he created, and ended up dying that we might live. Yet it is out of that that God raised him to the highest place, so all will bow, whether voluntarily because they love and relate to him, or because they're compelled to do so despite their attitude. before telling the Philippians to continue to live out of their relationship with Jesus, to work out their salvation. Yet, when he does this, he also tells them how to do this. Verse 12 reads, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." We should note here, the words fear and trembling are not meant to note literal fear of an event, but knowing of who God really is. In fact, the original meaning of awe, that we know the person who made the universe, know the person with that power that created us and should remember him and act out of that. It is suggesting that we, because we know him, live in relationship with God, because that's what allows God to work in and through us for his purposes. And this isn't always easy. Previously, Paul's told them that they share in the same struggles that he had and has now. And the Philippians know much of these struggles. Paul's rights as a Roman citizen were ignored in Philippi, and he was taken to prison and beaten. Despite that being against the law, he's in confinement now, most likely in Rome. Yet Paul tells them to live this without complaining or arguing about these struggles. In other words, not to be like the generation of Israelites that we read about earlier. The generation that were taken by God, working through Moses, from Egypt into the desert, and was supposed to go into the promised land. He did this through miracles such as opening up the Red Sea to pass through. And they spent the whole time complaining and arguing about food and drink, that it was impossible to take the land, despite seeing God constantly provide miraculously. They complained about their leadership that God appointed, about Moses, as we heard, leading to them staying in the desert while the generation died, leading to the Israelites seeing plagues, because God wanted to purify them, to bring them back to himself. And here the Philippians are told not to be like those Israelites, not to complain and argue and grumble, but to work for God's purposes, keeping him central. Verse 14 reads, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Paul speaks of the reason why they should focus on God and respond to him in what they do, because in doing that, God will work for them to appear pure and blameless, children of God. In other words, God's representative in this world. At the time, if your father was a baker, you'd be a baker, representing the family business. If your father was a farmer, you'd be a farmer and represent the farm. and as such the family, to those outside. So the way you behaved reflected on your family. If you were honest, then your family would be seen as honest. If you behaved in a dodgy fashion, it would reflect badly on your family. And Paul here is using children of God in this way. We're supposed to reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. Reflect the character of God in this world. Especially because this is not typical. We will stand out. Paul describes the people around the Philippians as a crooked and depraved generation. It's when people around do not hold to integrity and honesty that integrity and honesty stand out. It's when people do not forgive that forgiveness stands out. That genuine mercy is apparent, reflecting the mercy that God shows us. We doesn't say it doesn't matter. He says it's forgiven. The price is paid by Jesus. It's those are the times when our faith really shows that the fact that because of Jesus we live by different values, that others see Jesus and that we hold to his values, that we've grasped hold for the life that he gives us. That's Paul's challenge to the Philippians, but it's also a challenge to us today. How do we let our faith shine so that others around us see what it means to us by our words, by our deeds, by our attitudes? How do we reflect those of Jesus? Because if we follow Jesus, those around us should notice. They should see the difference it makes in our lives. It should shine, as Paul puts it, shine like the stars. Now Paul goes on, verse 16, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. Paul wants to see that his work for Christ has made a difference. Elsewhere Paul says he will not boast in anything except Christ and Christ crucified. But actually, what he's boasting in here is not particularly different from that. Because Paul's focus then is on Christ crucified. Here, it's on what Christ crucified has achieved through him and for him. Through him for those around him. Personally, occasionally I'll mention setting up a prison ministry in Ireland and some of my experiences there, which happened because God used me. But it's a time I can look back on and say God works and has worked through me. And Paul wants to be able to look back and say God used him. And that the work he did because of Christ crucified brought people to salvation. It had an impact on the Philippians' eternal destiny. It's something that we want to be able to say, that we had an impact on others' eternal destiny, bringing them to Christ. Because our lives stood out as a beacon of hope in this world. Our faith should stand out, encouraging others to be a part of God's people, learning, and to learn how to live for Jesus together with us. Paul goes on, verse 17, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's made huge sacrifices for the gospel to enable others to come to Jesus. Yet that's brought him rejoicing as they share in the faith that he has. And they should rejoice because of that. Paul knows ultimately the cost does not matter. His sacrifice won't last for eternity. The results will. So despite being in chains, he is glad and rejoices. And that should be a challenge and a model to us. Paul then switches to write of two of his co-workers. Now, as we learn in other letters, not all of the people who worked with Paul were always outstanding examples. Some of them deserted him when he was in prison, as we find in 2 Timothy. But here, he's got two with him that are outstanding examples and should encourage the Philippians. The first is Timothy, who Paul is looking to send to them. Timothy has a special place in Paul's heart because Timothy spent most of his adult life living and working with Paul. As Paul's taught him more and more of the good news and worked with him, Paul goes on to say Timothy was like a son to him. And it's Timothy's attitude that Paul praises in verse 20. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy's praised because he's centered on Jesus. It's not just Paul who's like that. So's Timothy. And given Paul's just talked about looking out for others' interests rather than just one's own, being able to point people to an example that is not him helps. It should encourage the Philippians in following Christ and making Jesus more and more central. Just as good examples of around us of people really committed to following Jesus, even when it costs. And we can see that this shows in their and character, should encourage us to do the same. One village, Shambon, that was separate in a mountain area, so separate from most of the rest of the France, was inspired by their pastor, Trocmé, and his teachings. Out of it, they provided a safe haven for Jews. Some of what they could do was because of where they were in the mountains. But they looked after around 3,000 Jews during World War II at great risk to themselves. The pastor's attitude and example inspired them to do the same. That's the effect of leadership and really good examples. Here, Paul's planning to send Timothy to the Philippians to encourage them. And also so he's encouraged when he hears about them and how they're living out their faith. Although he also wants to see them personally, but because of him being confined, he cannot guarantee this. And Paul gives one more example. An example of one of their own that he's sending back to them. This is Epaphroditus, who they sent to Paul to take care of Paul's needs. Yet Epaphroditus fell ill, and Paul talks of this. Now, Paul's got no problem with human weakness. In fact, he told the Galatians the good news of Jesus when they were caring for him as an invalid. But he emphasizes how Epaphroditus has worked for the gospel, looked after him, and almost died because of it, saying in verse 29, welcoming him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for help you could not give me. We should enjoy having such good examples when they're around us. People who are prepared to sacrifice, to pay a cost. That's what the Philippians are told to do. That's what we should do. But the unspoken reason here is because they're copying Jesus. They're copying Jesus, who paid the cost of his life, dying that we might live, that we might become children of God. Jesus died for all the times we go our own way, for all the times we reject, we forget, or ignore God, and are deserving, therefore, of God's wrath. It's in his death that we have restored relationship with God, that we can become children of God, people who are a part of God's family, sharing in God's inheritance, and enjoying his kingdom. And it's because of Jesus that we should be inspired to follow God, to shine out in this world for him, being prepared to stand for the gospel in word and deed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples in this passage, for the example of Christ, for the examples of Paul, of Timothy, and of Epaphroditus. And we ask that you work in our lives. You work so that we'll stand out for you as examples where people will see your work in our lives and will want to know more about it. Jesus' name. Amen.